a classic edition of Daily Bread. We trust you. Thank you for Easter, Jesus risen from the dead. We praise you forever. Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, raise us from the dead. Praise you, Holy Trinity. Happy Monday, brothers and sisters. The program is called Daily Bread. I'm Father Al Lauer. We are excited because this is Easter. We're celebrating the resurrection. As St. Athanasius said, this is the 50-day Sunday. We have reason to rejoice. Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Please go to Mass today. Receive the body and blood of Jesus. Let's prepare for Mass by getting into the Word of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Throughout the world, the Church is praying on the feast of the great Athanasius. When so many people were so mixed up, they didn't know God, they didn't know Jesus, they didn't know Jesus was God, but Athanasius did. He had that deep personal relationship with the Lord. We need it too. Father, you raised up St. Athanasius to be an outstanding defender of the truth of Christ's divinity. By his teaching and protection, may we grow in our knowledge and love. Grant this to our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. When we look at our first reading, Acts 16, we see Paul and Barnabas going out on the missionary journey, and it's exciting. It's exciting. They're praying, and they've been told that they ought to go to Philippi. So they go to Philippi, they pray there, and they preach. And somebody, her name is Lydia, hears the word of God, and she gives her life to Jesus, and she invites them to make her home a evangelistic community base for the evangelization of Philippi. And so they do. And so far, it's pretty nice. Prayer, preaching, faith, Christian community. Oh, the Christian life is abundant, isn't it? Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And it is certainly an abundant life to be a Christian. Oh, there's nothing so exciting. There's no adventure so great as to be a Christian. There's no challenge so demanding as to be a Christian. Everything else is just kind of boring, really. Everything else, you're just like an animal. You're just having creature comforts. There isn't that power, that intensity of dealing with something that is true, that is eternal, that is permanent. We're talking in the Christian life about not only life and death, but salvation and damnation, the drama of the Christian life, the intensity of the Christian life. Everything else is just kind of boring. You know, a Christian could say, I'm going to receive the body and blood of Jesus today. I'm going to be a walking tabernacle. I'm going to proclaim the gospel. God is going to give faith to somebody, and they're going to make a decision forever and ever to love God. And if they don't, they could be damned forever and ever. Other people say, I'm going to watch something on TV, eat a few snacks, pop a few potato chips, maybe have a pop, maybe a beer. Boring, boring. I talk about a boring life. The secular humanistic life is very boring. That's why it needs to be entertaining to take people's minds off of the extreme boredom of life when there's really not much at stake. It really doesn't make much difference what you do. Your life is just more or less the life of a sophisticated animal. Now, it's exciting to be a Christian, but it's even more exciting than you want it to be, because if we read on in Acts 16, we find out about spiritual warfare. We see Paul and Silas thrown in jail after they drove a demon out of this girl who was used to make money for her owners. And they are thrown into prison. They are put into maximum security. And they then praise God at midnight. Who can do such things? Christians. They're praising God in jail at midnight. The other prisoners are listening and saying, what is going on here? This is crazy. Well, they praise up an earthquake. Bang. They are miraculously released in the middle of the night. They convert the jailer and baptize his family. That's pretty exciting, I would say. And then the next day, when they say to Paul and Silas, you can go free, Paul says, no way, no. You tell the governor to come down here personally, take me by the hand, and lead me out. After what you've done arresting a Roman citizen without a trial, you're in big trouble. Well, the governor comes down, takes him by the hand, and escorts him out. The boldness of being a Christian, the power of being a Christian, the excitement, the unpredictability of being a Christian, the praise, the pain of being a Christian, the warfare of being a Christian, the community life of being a Christian, the communication with God of being a Christian. It is a wild ride, to put it mildly. It is really radical. Some people use the word radical, but if you're living in a secular humanistic world, you ain't radical. You're pathetic, if you know what I mean. Oh, brothers and sisters, there ain't nothing. There ain't nothing like being a Christian. I like that old gospel song. Ain't nobody can do me like Jesus. Nobody can give me a life like Jesus. He's the only one. Well, we were talking about the ministry of Paul and Silas in Philippi, how exciting it was, driving out demons, getting thrown in jail, converting jailers in the middle of the night when they're about to commit suicide, converting their families, having the governor escort you from jail. I'd say Paul's got enough excitement in about 10 hours, as much as most people get in about 20 years. Well, you get the idea. Well, look at Philippians, where Paul had these wonderful, powerful Christian experiences of life in the Lord, and we get a little better idea of what does it mean, the excitement, the adventure, the challenge, the agony, the ecstasy, the pain, the power of being a Christian. In the beginning of Philippians in chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, I give thanks to my God at every remembrance of you, praying always with joy in my every prayer for all of you, because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul says, I'm full of thanksgiving. I'm praying always. I got joy in my heart. I believe that we're going to keeping on. I believe there's nobody that can stop us, not even Satan and all his demons. Oh, let's go on. Let's complete the work. Paul says later on in Philippians in chapter 3, he says, I give no thought to what lies behind. I'm not going to worry about the past. I've been forgiven. I'm ready to move on. I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. This is Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Well, what does lie ahead for a Christian? I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we're running a race. We're going to get the prize, the upward calling in Christ Jesus. Every other way of living, how pitiful it is, how meaningless it is, how vain it is, how downright stupid it is. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. When we were beginning the program, we quoted from Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord, always, always in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. You just read on there in Philippians. It tells you about the life, the wonderful, beautiful, powerful, painful life of being a Christian. Philippians 4, let's look at verse 7. The peace of God surpassing all understanding. You got a peace that you can't understand yourself, but it's there. Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind does a person have as a Christian? Well, it's the mind of Christ, as we see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, last verse, and as we see in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Oh, it's wonderful. It is so great to be a Christian. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege to be a Christian. Well, let's read on a little bit more. Philippians 4, and look at verse 16. This is one of my favorite verses, my mother's favorite verse. This is 4 and verse 12. Sorry, we get the wrong verse here. In every circumstance, in all things, I have learned the secret of being well fed and going hungry and living in abundance and of being in need. Now, this is my favorite verse, or my mother's favorite verse, verse 13. I have a strength for everything through Him who empowers me. Strength for everything. Sounds pretty good, huh? Look at further on this chapter. Chapter 4, verse 19. This is pretty good. My God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. We're just talking about the excitement on earth. For a Christian, once you die, if you've lived in Christ, you'll die in Christ, you'll rise in Christ. And then you go to heaven and you see the Lord face to face, what is called the beatific vision. And with all the saints and angels, Revelation in chapter 4 and verse 8, you cry out, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might, the one who is and who is to come. Oh, the one who was and always will be Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You worship the Lord. You worship the Trinity. You live in the midst of a crossfire of Trinitarian love, and that goes forever. I know it's hard to understand the word forever. As human beings, how could we? But all I can say is, it's true. Oh, it's true. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of living the Christian life. Now, you notice I quoted from Acts of the Apostles, and after Acts of the Apostles. And for people to really catch on to this, a lot of people don't catch on. They look at the Christian life and say, boy, that's burdensome. Boy, that's not much fun. Boy, that ain't anything I'd like to do. You don't understand, brothers and sisters. You ain't in love. Well, why not? What's your problem? The Holy Spirit isn't working fully in your life. And so we need a new Pentecost in order to understand and enter into the glory, joy of the Christian life. And about 2 weeks from yesterday, Pentecost Sunday, we got the Pentecost Novena beginning Friday. If you want to get the Novena book, call up right away. We'll send it to you. I'll give you the number in a little bit. But all I can say, brothers and sisters, I kind of had little touches of the excitement of the Christian life throughout my youth. But it seemed like eventually I kind of lost that. But when I received the Holy Spirit in a new way, in 1975, bang, wow, all of a sudden it all clicked. I knew it was the only life worth living. Everything else was not even remotely close. The Holy Spirit helps you realize that. Now, we're going to be praying for the Holy Spirit the next couple of weeks. The Novena starts on Friday. So if you want the Novena book, I'll give you a number. Call 513-662-JESU, 513-662-JESU. Ask for the Pentecost Novena book. We've also got another booklet called Praying for a New Pentecost. And we've got another booklet called Seek the Gifts of the Spirit. So we've got a lot of things about the Holy Spirit. The religious order I founded, it was called the Brothers and Fathers of Pentecost. So that might give you a little tip there, you know. Hey, while I'm talking about it, hey, maybe you're called to the religious life. Talk about excitement. Talk about joy. Talk about love and freedom and victory and peace and life to the full. Come on. Well, I'll give you that number again. 513-662-JESU, 662-5378. Address, Presentation Ministries, 3230 McHenry, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45211. Presentation, 3230 McHenry, Cincinnati, 45211. On the internet, www.presentationministries.com. May Almighty God bless you now in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.